Good morning, welcome to the FTS Bet Slip on Wednesday the 5th of May. Hope you're all well. Okay, straight into it today. I want to cover a little bit about mindset. Touched on certain things yesterday. Interesting, I do get some interesting comments. I so difficult to know what to make of certain individuals when everything's just the written word and there's no context. You're not, you know, some of the things that people, if I sat in a pub with them and they said it to me, I'm sure I would fly off the handle. But a few of you commented on my views on the Man United and the Liverpool scrum, or whatever you want to call it, at the weekend. It's one of those things. I'm reading the comments as I'm talking to you. I don't have a massive view on, you know, I think I've been fairly consistent. I don't watch a lot of football on TV. I don't enjoy it like I used to, so it's not a big part of my life. I cannot, and I've always said it, I can go back to a podcast 2 years ago and I was talking about Thierry Henry. I cannot bear the pundit side of it, you know, and I've been consistent with that. The only one I really like, and this will cause again more division, I'll probably get things. I quite like Glenn Hoddle commentating on football, because I quite think, and people say, oh, it's only because he's Spurs. I actually think he offers a bit of knowledge to it. But the rest of them, other than, and this one again will cause consternation, is I quite like Roy Keane, just because he says it as it is. But the rest of them, you know, I go back when Thierry Henry was on there and they were paying him like £4 million a year. And Jamie Redknapp, you know, ex-Spurs, so I'm not biased, he used to sit there and just fawn over Henry. They just offer nothing for me. And the whole thing of Sky, you know, I did go on about Neville because I think he's as bad as all of them, but the whole thing really is Sky trying to be this platform of saviour, when if they had been approached for the rights of a Super League, I'm sure they would have lapped it up. All these people would have still been doing the jobs, the Soonesses and Redknapps and shit, whoever else they have on. I can't remember who else, I genuinely can't. It's all changed a little bit, hasn't it? But I've no idea who's on there. But yeah, it's just all self-serving bollocks. It's the whole thing for me. It's just self-serving bollocks. There has got to be a change. It will be the fans who can drive that change. But the owners, you know, it's such a difficult thing. The owners hold all the cards. They could just say, sod off. Interesting to see that. I think United signed a big deal with TeamViewer. Obviously, TeamViewer's business has shot up through the pandemic over the last 18 months. Somebody will email me now. It's not a pandemic. I get emails about everything. I just get everything I say. I do sit and wonder. I sat wondering last night, genuinely, probably for the first time since I started, I thought, why do I bother doing this podcast? I really did. For the first time, I just thought, what is the point of it all? I started it for me, but it causes just unpleasant people out there. But yeah, when you get to TeamViewer, interestingly, and I think United have signed a massive deal with TeamViewer. I think TeamViewer recently floated, worth billions, obviously with the growth of use. I think United have signed a deal with them, and interesting, loads of United fans have gone on Trustpilot, I think it is, a review website, where and slated TeamViewer, and the TeamViewer, whatever it is, star rating has gone down from 4 or 5 stars down to 1, 1.5, I think. I don't know, have any idea whether that has any effect on anything, whether it'll have an effect on TeamViewer's use or on TeamViewer's decision to partner with Man United. I genuinely have no idea. But it's just interesting how you go about it. You know, Levy's held a hold over Tottenham for 20 years, no trophies. You know, I go back to what I said when this first broke, that I crave success. I'm one who stood there and said, spend money, you know, but in a different way. But the whole football bubble, particularly at the top level, is just ridiculous. And I don't ever think you're able to put the genie back in the bottle now. You can't dictate to people what you're going to pay them. You know, so wages are going to go up, and until those TV companies stop propping it up and that bubble bursts, then I can't see anything really happening. And if that does happen, there'll be a whole world of pain as clubs go belly up. But yeah, people say I think I am fairly consistent. I'm not just saying it because of this. I don't like the punditry side of it. I've never been a massive Neville and Carragher fan. I spoke about Carragher spitting. I don't think he should have ever got his job back. I think Gary Neville's always been a bit sanctimonious and always self-serving and thinks he's something he isn't. And I just don't see what all that adds to viewing. I could dig the pod out where I said I don't see why we have to have three players by the pitch, another three or four players in a box to watch 90 minutes of football. It does absolutely nothing for me. If I do watch football, genuinely I watch the Spurs games if I'm watching anything, then I'll just at half time I'll go and do something else. I'll take the dog for a walk and come back. I just got no desire. It starts an hour before, doesn't it, all this waffle. But then, my big point yesterday was for Sky to come out acting like some holier than thou and promoting these disruptions and things. I just find it absolute nonsense. Just find the whole thing an absolute load of waffle. Probably a bit like what I do. Anyway, right, mindset. So I'm going to get into that. I commented yesterday, obviously, people, the only people I know are people who contact me and the stuff I see. And I use Twitter less and less now, so I know a lot of you post about what you're doing on there, but I'm trying to move all my stuff, as I said, to Telegram and stuff that I can interact with people without all the other noise, and hopefully help people forward. Again, I've got pictures in my mind of how I want to move things forward through the next couple of years, I said I've got great admiration for people like Betty Blogger, who, whatever he was, 100-odd points down, got it back. And a few of you emailed me, and I've had lots of emails through the season about, people struggling or, what do I think of football at the minute and this, that and the other. I've posted all the, if I sort of start there, I've posted the sheets that we do free, or I do free, on get accused of charging for everything. I get that I posted on the FTS website. Again, I don't know whether people use these or not. I just said I'd post them, and I think I'll probably just lock them away in a members area next year. But I post them for people just really to give you an overview of things. Sound a bit fed up today, don't I? I'm a bit pissed off with people, I'll be honest. I'm not going to lie. Just got a bit fed up with people's attitudes to certain things. But where was I going with all this? I was going, my sheets, that's where I was going. There, I was going with my sheets. See, this is why I started the podcast, just so I could therapy for myself. So the sheets, so we've got the goal and goal times. I've put the links in Telegram and Twitter. The 1x2 percentages, ultimate members, you have your own 1x2 percentages. And the first and second half goal percentages. And it's interesting, sort of, as I say, I don't know how people look at these or use them, but you start to see, for instance, like the Premier League, if you'd backed home wins in 1920, and bear in mind, pretty much what half the games, certainly a third of the games, were played when the pandemic broke, when there was that initial COVID panic, backing home teams in that season, based on the 5-minute price, won about 50 points, I believe, in the 1920 season. In the 2021 season, it's down 40 points. And the home win percentage is obviously different. But when you look at the breakdown of it, you had 75, 79 and 69 games where the favourite was 1.5 or under 1.5 in the Premier League in 17, 18, 18, 19, 19, 20. So round about 70 games out of the 380 where you had a favourite under 1.5. Now you've only had 38 this season with a handful of games to go. As a result of that, then you've got more teams that have gone off between 1.5 and 2. And percentages for those are pretty standard. across the 3 years. So you had 63 games in 2018-19 with a 65% home win between 1.5 and 2. We've had 71 games now with a 62%. So, you know, well within a margin of error. It's when you get to the sort of between 2 and 3 that you start to see, you know, and it's interesting, it varies year to year. 2017-18, there were 79 games where the home favourite was 201 to 2.5, and they won 45% of their games. This year, there's been 62, but they've only won 33%. So clearly, through that league, there's been some form of market adjustment. But you look at, you know, I say it, you look at the teams. Tottenham have been dreadful the last 2 years. So 2 years ago, particularly last season at White Hart Lane, they were unbeaten. Went to Wembley. They were still pretty good with Wembley as their home. And they were going off at 1.3, 1.4, 1.5 a lot more than they are now because they've become worse. And no team has really leapt into that void yet. No team has gone in and, you know, Leicester are in effect where Tottenham were 3 or 4 years ago now, but Leicester's price isn't the same as Tottenham because for some reason Tottenham's price was always, as I say it is now, you know, it's being overbacked, if you like. So there'll be lots of stuff to trawl through at the end of the season to try and make any sense of this. You know, when you start to break it down, you know, we had an 82% win percentage for home teams in 2018-19 under 1.5, 72 2019-20 and 68. So that's been a decline. So you've got to bear in mind that 19-20 season, as I say, some was COVID, some wasn't. And not Betty Blogger Jeff, but another Jeff sent me his ultimate graph yesterday. Fascinating, you know. Shot up and then he's marked on it when COVID started and it shot down, then he's marked when the season started, a little bit up again, and it was almost like when COVID came, a shock to everything, then they kind of got used to it, but then it's all gone down again, I think, through, from my point of view, probably the volume of football. International break came, few players had a rest, and this has gone back up. And he, in effect, is back ahead of where he was 12 months ago. And I will, for Ultimate members in the review, I'll publish his graph. I'll just check he's okay with that. I'm sure he will be. But it's absolute fascinating graph to see how it's gone in relation to COVID season starting, that bad period pre-Christmas, and then sort of he's back up and on an upward trajectory, quite a good upward trajectory at the minute. So I've published all those files anyway, and you can see things, and it's just interesting to break stuff down. You know, there's always a reason for things. As I said, as opposed to conspiracy theories, we can dig into numbers. Whether we'll actually be able to explain those reasons and find them is another thing. You know, that becomes a bit of a harder task. But once we've got the full data at the end of the season, I'll have a look at it. But sort of where I'm going with that is obviously people have got themselves to a stage now. Some people happy and settled in what they do. And other people, it will be this summer, will be a sort of decision-making time of I'm giving all this up. And that's absolutely fine. If it's not for you, it's not for you. I'm not here to talk anybody into trading or punting or doing anything. I think you know, I keep saying people are grown adults, you've got to make your decision what to do. But if you are frustrated and you're in that decision making process, I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. And obviously, if people decide to carry on, I want to, you know, it doesn't matter what I say on here because people form their own interpretations and that. But I've been having some sessions with somebody just about values in life and areas in life, which I've really enjoyed. I had about 12 of them over Zoom over the last couple of months. And sort of one of the key areas of value to me now is that I've got my life pretty much where I want it. I've got finances, I've got this, that and the other. What do I want to do going forward? And one of the things that I enjoy doing is helping people. And I think there's people who know that I'm genuine in that and have done that. So, you know, from that session, from those sessions, I sort of look at, right, how can I do this going forward in a better way? You always want to get better. Always want to try and do things better. And a lot of that, obviously, as I say, from you guys, comes from feedback. If people tell me what they want and tell me what they need help with, then obviously you can look at it and go, right, how can I help someone with that? If you don't know, then you can't. So we've got this situation now where people will be thinking that, do I carry this on? Have I had enough? They'll make a decision. That's an adult decision you make on your own. Once you've made that decision, then the people who do want to carry on, we can start to drill into areas which will be communal. There'll be areas for different, you know, there'll be different areas for different people, but there'll be a lot of communal ground that we can look at and say, right, this is how I would handle that. So we can tailor some stuff this end to help that. So let's look at that sort of mindset now of you feeling like giving up. And I get a lot of emails from this, and somebody's put on the Telegram group, you know, last week that they've just had enough this season and they're moving on and they're going to come back in July, August refreshed. And that's fine, because I think it's pointless just headbutting a wall if you're not getting anywhere and getting depressed with it. That's an absolute waste of time. But there's lots of people who struggle or become frustrated. Lots of people have lashed out at me. People think I'm joking. I've had 3 death threats this year. 3 death threats. That's absolute fact. People don't, you know, when I say stuff like that, because, oh, I don't see any of this stuff and all that. I've had 3 death threats since January. I'm talking this calendar year, not talking last year, this calendar year. 3 people threatened to kill me. To get yourself to that state is, I don't know, I can't understand it. But we all can get that struggle and that frustration that we go through. So you get people who've done this for years, spent years, they've tried everything and much, you know, they've gone backwards, and people perhaps think they make progress. And I talked yesterday about testing is one area. And there'll be people listening to this who've done 8, 9, 10 years of this, who've just gone up and down, golden, when they look at it and go, actually, I haven't got anywhere. So that's where you've got to then say, right, what am I going to do? And unfortunately for me, most people just try and keep doing the same thing. Other people don't want to admit failure. They don't want to think they're not good at it, so they just keep going, because that's a tough one to do. And there are people that this just isn't for. There's just people who this haven't got the makeup to do this, and there's nothing wrong in that. There's absolutely, I think the key thing in this is nothing wrong in it. We have become obsessed with attention and obsessed with what other people think through things like social media and Twitter. There's nothing wrong in it. You know, somebody posts that they're having, you know, whatever, mental health problems, or they're feeling down or whatever, and other people jump on that. What's the matter with you? It's got nothing to do with them. Nothing to do with them. If people feel like that, they're entitled to feel like that. They'll have their own reasons for it. Why do you want to jump on and have to have a go about it? Or even offer a view. That's the thing I find staggering with it. Or people who offer a view on things that are fuck all to do with them whatsoever. Absolutely fuck all to do with them. In a personal way, it's a bit different. You know, people say, well, you do it, you sit on a podcast talking about Sky Sports. That's just an opinion I'm giving, and you can choose to listen to it or not listen to it. It's a lot different to if somebody posts something and I go and reply to them personally and say, oi, if I was going on Gary Neville, you know, tweeting Gary Neville, Gary, I think you're a fucking cunt, blah, 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 me. That's completely different to me saying here, I think Gary Neville is disingenuous with how he's being. If he then said to me, let's have a discussion about it, of course that would never happen, but I'd more than happily have a discussion with him about it. But people who want to chip in. So there are going to be people who aren't made for it, haven't got the right mindset, and perhaps probably should throw in the towel when you look at it. But a lot of it is that admitting you're not good at it. And again, on, you know, they'll see people post profits and things on Twitter. You know, I've stopped doing a lot of that because I know it was upsetting some people. And I had some valid emails about it, which I thought, right, okay. I only ever try to do it to motivate people. But I think the first thing that you've got to start at is sort of looking again at the psychology of that. And there is some psychology bits. What drew you? What made you do this in the first place? What was it? You know, I've said on this podcast, again, I can go back a couple of years. I said, I never sat down and Googled how to make money trading or Googled this. I mean, I've got somebody now I'm looking to try to help. He'll probably work out from this. And he sent me something the other day about a completely different service. And my brain sort of worked, how did he end up there? He's obviously been looking for something else to make money, you know, so he's obviously gone and there. And I thought, what I'll try and get inside, what thought process took him to that? And I never went through that process of Googling. And I think there's a big difference in, and this, you know, there, again, I'm not got any notes here, so I'm talking as I'm, you know, as I'm thinking of things. I had a clear goal, and go back and listen to whatever podcast it was where I sort of talk about how I set out, and I'd done a couple of them. I did it when the podcast first started. I've revisited it since. I've done it in people with in Zooms. I had a clear path of what I was trying to do, and I wasn't trying to not be poor. I was trying to make money. That's what I was doing. I set my bar quite high. I think there's a big difference between trying not to be poor and trying, you know, or if I could just get £100 a week, I'll be okay, or whatever it may be, than to actually shoot for the stars. So I think you've got to look at, you know, now in this, let's you know, and I'm talking to people who are at this crossroads of, I'm not doing any good here, shall I carry on, whatever. I think you've got to look at what brought you to it in the first place, what drew you in there, how did you feel about it, you know, and like, I don't know, I suppose like meeting, you know, let's take me, you know, I've been married, whatever it is, God knows, feels like a lifetime, but I met Sam 1992, I had to get that right, because if she listens, I'm in trouble. 1992, I met Sam. And you get that initial excitement. We still have that to this day. You know, when I say to things like, you know, we enjoy spending our time in each other's company. So I'm well aware that when I'm trading, I'm trading. The last thing I want to do is come in here then and stick something on that Sam won't enjoy. And we sit, you know, in silence and or whatever. We like talking, we like doing things together. We've still got that excitement. A lot of people aren't in that position. They're, you know, the excitement of their marriage when or when they first met somebody filters out. And I watched, you know, my parents pretty much hated each other, but for the we've got to stay together sort of thing, kept sitting there for 20 odd years arguing, not liking each other. It was horrible to live in. And I think it's very much like that with trading. People have come to it, have got this initial excitement. My excitement was driven by, I genuinely saw a way to make a lot of money, give up a life I was in, move into a new life, and not be boring. I still, and I, again, I, you know, I'm not saying anything I've said before, I still enjoy it. I still love trading. I had a period a few years ago where I didn't. I've not enjoyed this year as much, and not from a financial side, from the lack of time. It's just been relentless. Football every single day. You know, today, 3-4 games in Portugal. I have to do everything. You know, one of my flaws in what I do is I have to do everything, whether there's one game or 100 games, and I'll be looking at that. But I've lived through a strange period. I accept, you know, normally we took it as red. Thursday was a day off. You know, tomorrow there's a German Bundesliga game. But I took it that was a day off, that in effect there's Europa League football. I don't trade that. I'm not interested in it. Great, I can, you know, recharge the batteries Thursday, and then Friday I've got to do the ultimate process and off we go again. But Thursday, in effect, was a day off. But it hasn't been. You know, we have. It's just constant wall-to-wall football, and I've not really enjoyed that, I'll be honest. But you've got to get to why did you get drawn to it? What was it? What was the exact mechanics that drew you into it? How do you feel about it then to how do you feel about it now? Is that marriage flame still, you know, burning away? And if it's becoming boring and a chore, then it's just becoming like work. Then perhaps you need to revisit that and try and get back those initial feelings, and then break it down into, right, how are you going to make it work? And quite often, you know, you only need to see on Twitter. You know, I follow on Twitter generally gamblers, football people, people I've met through FTS. We get drawn to certain things. So the likelihood is, if you are trading, you're in circles that are trading, be it forums, be it groups, you know, and I don't take part in any of those sort of things. People see on the chat, Telegram chat, how often do I pop up in there? It's great that you guys talk. I've got no issue with it. It's just not for me. But when you get those sort of things, you tend to find the negativity comes in a lot quicker than it normally would in real walks of life. You know, you don't tend to, if you're going to go out for a drink with your mates in a pub, you know, and let's go back to interaction pre-internet days, I would meet my mates in a pub on a Friday night. We wouldn't just sit there all depressed going, oh, fucking hell, you know, fucking work this and yeah, and I made a mistake there and that was horrendous. What did you do, John? Oh, yeah, no, my life's shit. It's just horrendous. I can't do this and that. Dave, oh, it's just dreadful. I've done this. My boss wants to sack me. It just didn't happen. You know, of course, you talk about the odd negative stuff, but generally, you went out to have a good time. I tend to think that these groups, the negativity far outweighs the positivity, which is why I tend to stay out of them. I like to be quite a positive person. And I think you get away from successful traders. In fact, successful traders, particularly in that world, get beaten up. You know, how many people slag Psykov off and do this? They're looking, that jealousy thing, they're looking to have a go at them. Where you wouldn't do that again in a normal scenario. You know, if you went out with a group of mates and cool, you might sit there with a guy who's a multi-millionaire and you might think, you know, flashback, whatever. But generally, you wouldn't. You'd probably pick his mind a lot more and want to know more about it than just sitting there going, hey, fucking wanker, look, he's charging for that fucking thing, he's trying to make money out of it, fucking hell. The guy's got knowledge, and, you know, people go to experts in all walks of life every day. Sam's seeing a chiropractor now, £90 a session. Why? Because she can't fix it herself, so she's going to see a chiropractor at 90. You're paying for that knowledge. I'm paying for that guy to do something. I don't sit there and go, fucking £90, why don't you do it for free? Fucking hell, da, da, da. There. You know, people put their time into it and can be good, but you get into this world of negativity. You can do this for free. I'm not talking about paying any money, but go and read about successful traders is one thing. So before you make your decision, so first we're going to look back what drew us to it. Then we're going to look at what excitement, why was it, what was the excitement? Have we still got that? You know, be honest with yourself if you haven't. Is it really for you? That's the first step. You know, you could do one of those sort of flow diagrams. Yes, no. Is this for me? No, generally, I'm not going to enjoy it. It's not going to be for me. I'm fed up doing it. I'm fed up with the time. There's nothing wrong with that. Down tools, go and do something else. Put your time into something you will enjoy. Life is for living. If it's a yes, right, now what are the next steps of the making that work? It's not surrounding yourself with numpties. It's not surrounding yourself with people whose opinions don't matter. It's surrounding yourself with people who could genuinely offer something and help you take it forward. That is what it's about. And I look back, I did that accidentally. I just had people in around me who were good, particularly in the horse side of it, really good. And I just picked their brains and used elements of that pretty much without them knowing. I go back to the chats in pubs, playing golf with people, going racing with people, just sit and watching, observing, talking to them. But there's a series of books which are in the finance markets by a guy called Jack Schwager, I think. I'm just going to look him up while I'm talking to you. Should have again done a bit of prep. It's on Amazon UK, which is called Market Wizards. Kindle's £14, paperback's £15. Market Wizards by Jack D. Schwager, Schwager. So wager with an SCH in it. You must have made that name up seeing it now, just thinking about it. But it's basically, it's more in the financial world, but it's about, you know, top financial traders. And it's basically interviews with top traders. So it's a good read because your reading tells you the story of successful traders and it will hopefully motivate you to read about other people do what you're doing. And whilst there's a big difference between financial trading and gambling, a lot of the mindset and approach is the same. If you know, if a financial trader's losing and feeling lost, and loads of people I know have tried things like Forex, you know, reading how successful people have done it, real, genuine, real successful people, then it'll help you. And it's a really good read. It is a really good read, you know, sort of mindset and book recommendation. And it might be worth now just taking a break. If you're in that sort of mindset of I want to count, taking a break, and that's a start. Do what I've said so far, get that book and read it and see if you're ready to, in effect, reset yourself and rediscover a passion going back to what you brought you to it. So that, I think that's the first thing, is to get this first what attracted you and get set to then. Go and get that book. I've talked about trading plans. You know, you should not be trading unless you've got a trading plan. You know, I still look and see people trying to do stuff. I'll post something and people do it. I've got stuff that I want to test with people, because that's the way I can make it work. If I test it for new people, sorry, that's the vets texting me. And the best way for me to test things is to actually get people and give it to them, so it's transparent. And that was one of my prime reasons for setting up the Telegram group, that I've put in a structure in place that I'm going to use with these guys over the next 2 or 3 years. And I'm going to post stuff and it's fully transparent, but I've got 100 people looking at it, and I'll see where we get consistency, or do we get, you know, 20 people do this with it and 80 people do that. So I'll be able to, you know, in effect, help people just by seeing that and interacting with people. What did you get there? Hang on, my results don't do that, whatever it may be, particularly when you get into the football trading side of things and entries and exits and things like that. But I think you've got to have your own trading plan. So when I say to people, follow stuff, I don't say it lightly. I mean it. Follow it. It's not part of your trading at the minute. Do what you're doing. Here's something I just want to show you to follow alongside. But you should have your own trading plan of what you can do. And I think that's a massive area for people that falls down. You know, people get frustrated with me because I perhaps don't do as much as other people or other groups, or I'm not firing bets in all day long. Because they're not part of me. They're not part. I had one bet yesterday. I did put it in the Telegram group. The first half goal at Holston Kiel. That was it. I didn't then look at any more football. As soon as that goal was in, I was done. Wasn't interested. I wasn't looking at the Champions League game or whatever was going on in League One for other opportunities, because they were never going to be part of my plan. They were never, ever going to be a factor for me to do it. I know there's people who watch football and jump on and you know, can predict goals, whatever. Fair play to them. It wasn't part of what I do or what I want to do. And I think, again, obviously, is the first, the next part of that is, which kind of leads into not having a trading plan, is this trying to get rich. And whilst I said my aim, there's a big difference between if your goal is trying not to be poor to trying to make money, but you've got to get a plan to do that. But at the minute, most people go into this, and I'm absolutely 100% right here, with a view of trying to get rich quickly. You know, that is exactly it. Oh, he earns this, or Psychoff does that. I can pay X, Y, Z and get rich quickly. I have never, ever, ever touted that, ever. I know that if you do what I do over a good number of years and you build your stakes up, you will make 5 figures a month. I can absolutely guarantee that. And I can guarantee it over a period of years. I can't guarantee anything in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, even a season. I've always said that. I don't seem to look at my stuff in seasons. I look at it in number of bets. I look at it over time periods. You know, football is in seasons because that's the way the game's structured. But there's people who, if I can't make 20 grand this season, I'm giving the whole thing up. I think you've got to look at that side of it. And again, that's part of your, you know, you've got a trading plan for a day. You've got short-term goals, long-term goals, and where you want to get to. And the easiest way to this game is actually to keep it simple. Find 2 or 3 things that work really well and increase your stakes as you go. And always, always checking, testing and looking, because markets do change. As I said, we only need to, you know, go back to the 1x2 sheet. 70-odd games under 1.5 in the Premier League, only 38 games. So all of a sudden, if that was your sole betting method, you know, they've made money. Now you're not getting as many bets. How are you going to take that forward? Well, you know, what's the impact of that going to be? So they're sort of areas that, as I say, it's a really good book. I'm going to take this into a second part to this next week, which I will you know, in effect, just be a continuation of this rather than going on for an hour. I want to try and keep them a bit shorter. But, you know, I think just to sort of wrap it all up, there's nothing wrong with feeling frustrated. I think you've got to be honest with yourself. I think loads of people do feel frustrated. There's nothing wrong with walking away if that is what everything points to and tells you, but don't just do it on a whim. Write things down. How did you get to that point? Right, actually, this is never going to be for me, and that's not the end of the world. That, you know, plenty of other things in life to do. There's nothing wrong with stepping back from actually putting money into the markets and having a look and reassessing everything, and then coming back fresh in 2-3 months. There's nothing there wrong with that. But I think you need to go back now, you know, when we are, if you're at that stage, you know, this isn't really for people who are on that sort of, I've been doing this years, not getting anywhere, I'm thinking of knocking it on the head. If you've got a plan, and a lot of people have emailed me and say, I'm set up, I'm ready to go, I can't wait for next season, you know, I know the mistakes I've made, and we all make mistakes, me included, but I know what I'm going to work on in the summer, I know what I'm going to move forward. But if you're not in that mindset, if you're in the, I'm really thinking of jacking this in, as I say, I think going through those sort of things that I've talked about today, remember what attracted you to it, what was the excitement, what was the actual end game, you know, what I expect with most people is all about money, but we all have that period of excitement. I still get it now in some of the chats I've had. One of the things that, you know, they almost, the person I was talking to almost sort of did a value assessment of me, of the things that make me tick. And the two things that kept coming back were fun. I'm just somebody who likes to have fun, and excitement. I have to have excitement in my life, basically, for me to thrive and be the person I am and the person I want to be. Boring isn't any good for me. I have to have excitement in my life. And that excitement, you know, a lot of it is provided by goals going in and things like that. You know, whilst I say the way I trade can be boring and I'm structured, it is that side of it. But still, when the goals go in, I still give it a get in there. I like that excitement side of it. So getting into that, you know, so how did you get there? What was that? Go through that sort of analysis. Read that book. Really good. Market Wizards on Amazon, £15. Market Wizards, Jack D. SCH Wager, Schwager. Again, I say it is aimed at financial markets, but really good book. Trading plans, have a look at yours. Have you got one? Have you not got one? What is your trading plan? What was the game? And then look at the monetary side of it. Are you genuinely trading too much? Jumping on every opportunity, trying to get rich fast. I always say to people, that tenor, you know, I've had these conversations with many people over this season. Winning that 20 quid at that time, so let's say I post a first half goal and you don't see the message or whatever. You may have bet it, you may not have done it. It's not part of yours. And when I post these bets, you know, again, that's something I get criticised for. When I post these bets, the idea of the bet slip, one of the things we're putting bets on it was, I know there's lots of people, the biggest thing that we did a survey 2015-16, the biggest response that we had, the most answered question that people said, they don't want to do any work, they just want bets. So there is a big period of people out there, and that's why the Twitter tipster services and that thrive. You know, that was even people who've been with me 8, 9, 10 years, just want bets. I just want somebody to say, put this on, takes all the responsibility away. I just want to have a punt. We are a nation that likes punting. I just want to have a bet. It was overwhelmingly the biggest answer. I was absolutely stunned, because I kind of get in my utopian world. I thought, people want to learn about this, do it differently. And that's what I'm about, trying to get people to look at things differently, try and get people to do a lot of stuff themselves. But it was overwhelming. And when I did the bet slip, whatever year I launched it, a couple of years ago, I thought, well, I'll just, for those people, I will cater for them, and hopefully I'll give them some bets that they can make money on, And that'll take them away from looking on Twitter and doing all the shit. So that's why I'd do it. But let's say I post that bet and you don't get it. And I've done it. Oh, shit, telegramming it. Well, I didn't see it. Did that 20 quid, missing out on that 10, 20 quid, is it going to change your life? Of course it's not. You know, so again, it's that plan of, oh, just that buzz of that 20 quid at that time. That's not really a solution to your trading. It's probably bets. You know, if you dive in and out, you're very unlikely to win. So it's that trading too frequently, not really, again, having part of a master plan to put together. So, again, one of these pods, I don't know whether I've made any sense, I've gone on for 40 minutes, hopefully I have. There will be a part two to this, sort of taking that a little bit further with some more ideas and stuff that you can look at. But, you know, do what I said, for those of you who are in that mind of where am I at with all this, it's time to sit down and ask yourself and answer, you know, questions I can't answer for you. I can help people, but I can't answer questions for you on that sort of thing. You've got to be 100% honest with yourself and where you want to go with it. And then when I know that, you know, that's when I can then step in and say, well, let's do it this way. I can help you with that, this, that, and the other. So, and you know, as I say, we're going to do this stuff in the summer with these practicals, which I think a lot of people will get a lot from. I've got clear pictures in my head. I just need to get the sort of working mechanic side of it set up for people to use every day. But I think it'll help a lot of people. Right, that's it from me. There's very little football today. Portugal got nothing football wise, and I'll have a look at the Germany game tomorrow. I won't do a pod tomorrow, but I will be back Friday with the preview. We've got the last weekend of the Championship, Rooney's Derby. I think they're in danger of going down, aren't they? But obviously, yeah, everything's winding down now towards the end of the main European leagues. And it will be a time to sort of get set through the summer into the new season. But I'll do the Friday preview, obviously, right up to the end of the Premier League on the 23rd. Have a lovely Wednesday, and I'll be back with you all on Friday morning.